أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد. We start Surah Al-Infitar, Surah number 82. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا السماء انفطرت وإذا الكواكب انتثرت وإذا البحار فجرت وإذا القبور بعثرت علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت. When the skies rent apart, when the stars are scattered, when the seas are merged, when the graves are overturned, then a soul shall know what it has sent ahead and left behind. Now, this surah is, in a sense, a continuation of the previous surah. If you have noticed in all surahs of the Quran, the way they are put one after another, usually a surah which follows the previous surah contains some parts or some concepts from the previous surah, and in this sense the continuity of the contents of the surahs and the flow of the concepts are preserved. Here there are another four qasam, swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about of course almost the same thing about which there was a qasam in the previous surah. In the previous surah we had 11 swears, and then at the end it was when all these things 11 sorry they are not swears, there are conditions that will come. We had 11 conditions upon the fulfillment of which then we had alimat nafsum ma ahdarat. Every soul would know what they have prepared for themselves. Here we have four of those things which should happen before again alimat nafsum ma qaddamat wa akharat. A soul shall know what it has sent ahead and left behind. The only difference between the two is that in the previous verse it was what it has prepared. Here it is a bit more detailed, in the sense that what it has prepared contains or includes what he has sent for and what he has left behind. Now, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ, when the sky is torn apart, انْفِطَار, which means something being teared, in the sense that we mentioned before, that since the skies the gravity between the stars and planets would disappear, it seems that the sky is torn apart, and then consequently the stars would scatter. إِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ, and إِذَا الْبَحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, the seas are merged. فُجِّرَتْ, of course, فَجَرَ is the meaning of فَجَرَ is to pierce through and to tear. And since we have this barrier between salty water and sweet water all the time, rivers running into the oceans, there is no merger between the two. مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانْ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانْ. Allah has made this in a way that there is a barrier between the two. They would not mix up, but on that day everything would mix up, all the waters. And then, of course, there is that idea of sujjarat, when they are set afire. And وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثَرَتْ, the graves are overturned, in the sense that the bodies will come out of the graves. أَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ, a soul shall know what it has sent ahead and left behind. Now, there are two meanings for this. One is similar to the verse in Surah Yasin, when we had إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ, we give life to the dead and we write whatever they have sent forth and what traces they leave behind them. That is the good actions or evil actions, good influence and effect, and bad influence and effect. They all will be written as part of their actions. This is one meaning. The other meaning is that usually we do many things that we forget. We do things at our childhood, at our youth, middle age, old age. Now usually what we do at our old age, the type of personality that we have gained, which produces certain type of actions, is what we think we are and what we usually remember. However, there has been things which are past and we might not remember. Here, one of the meanings would be that yes, even those past things that you have completely forgotten will be is already sent in that world for you. A soul shall know what it has sent ahead, ma qaddamat wa akharat, and left behind in the first sense, that's what they have done in this world, and what the others will do as an effect of their life in this world later on. Or ma qaddamat, what he has sent forth long, long time ago, what he has done in young age, وَمَا أَخَّرَتْ, what he has done in old age. These are the two different meanings, but certainly if you want to make consistency between this verse and the verse in Surah Yasin, it would be what they have done in this world and what effects their actions and their life have after their lives. Then of course there is a very interesting question here, which is put after all these things, that you know that your actions count, what you do is certainly going to be met by you in one day. The question is, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka birabbikal kareem alladhi khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adalak fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak. O man, what has deceived you about your generous Lord? Ma gharraka birabbikal kareem. It means, why do you forget him? Why do you disobey him? Why do you neglect him? Why do you disrespect him? All these are somehow included in the meaning of ma gharraka birabbikal kareem. Of course, you can see his karam, his generosity in you. And one of the most salient sign of his generosity is that he has created you. He has sawwaka, he has put all different means for your life, proportioned you. Fa'adalak, and he has measured what should be where, what organ in your body should be where, and what organs you need. And he has made all these in a harmony so that they can work with each other. You can see this. This is the sign of his generosity. So, if this is the case, الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّكَ فَعَدَلَكَ, then why are you deceived with regards to your Lord in the sense that we mentioned? Now, interestingly, Alusi, who is very late exegete of the Quran, a Sunni scholar, has said a very interesting thing in this about this verse. He says that here actually Allah is in a sense teaching a sort of answer to be prepared for him when he asks this question from us, as if he is going to ask this on the day of judgment from us. And then we have no answer. But since he's so generous, he himself has provided us with an answer. And that is, when he asks, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ, what has deceived you about your generous Lord? You can say, your generosity has deceived me. Because you were so generous that I was somehow deceived. And now I expect that generosity to continue. This is what he says. And if the question was, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbik, or bi khaliqik, bi bari'ik, then there was not such a nice answer that we could prepare for him. But since he is saying مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ, in a sense he wants to say that if I ask you this question on the Day of Judgment, you can say, well, your karam, your generosity has deceived me. But of course, this doesn't flow well with the continuation of the verse saying that, well, we will certainly send some people to the hell and they will be punished there. And in many, many other verses of the Quran, that when this question is put, Allah wants a clear answer. Your generosity has deceived us is not an answer. This karam or generosity, as I said, is a reminder to us that we should not forget him, we should not neglect him, because his generosity is flowing all through. And it's not only creation, it's not only giving us different organs in a proportioned way, it is making harmony between whatever we have. If you take the example of eating, for example, we need to eat food, our body needs food, but this food should be, first of all, digested. Well, we have organs for digestion, but this food cannot be just dropped in it for digestion. It needs to be softened in a way that could be digested. So we have our teeth to chew it, to soften it, and then to swallow it. But the teeth are not enough for that. We need also saliva. We need our tongue to take this food from one side of the mouth to another side. Then, of course, where that food should come to go to our mouth, we need to take it by hand, we need to prepare it, to take it from here and there, so we need food. If you think about every aspect of your activities or your life, you see that all the organs of your body work in harmony so that you can do some very, very small thing. And this is only what apparently we see. There are many, many other things, many other elements in our body, in our physics, which if one part is missing, if one part is not working in harmony with other parts, then of course we are paralyzed. We cannot do anything. So this is the meaning of fa'adalak. He Adl is wad'u kulli shay'in mawza'ahu, putting everything in its place, in its right place. So he has put everything in its right place in a way that all parts of your body work with harmony. And if such an harmony is seen in your body, then why don't you see harmony in other parts of the creation? And why don't you see harmony between this world and the next world? Why do you think that all these strange harmonies that you find in the world are just futile, for no purpose, they are just come about like for themselves out of nothing? So these are the things which might really put this question very seriously against us, that what have you deceived? What has deceived you? What has deceived you with regards to your generous Lord? مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ, and compose you in any form that he wished. Of course, in any form that he wished might mean that, well, of course, he wishes only what is best. And he has created you in the best form. He wished to create something good, and of course he could do it. Sometimes we want to create something very good, very powerful, very useful, but we can't do it, of course. Our knowledge is limited. But whatever he wanted to do, he could do, he could fulfill, and therefore has created you in that type of surah, that type of form that he wished. And he had power and knowledge for it. Also, surah might mean different surah, different faces, different forms of human beings, that all of us are different from each other. This is really one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you rarely see two faces identical. Well, identical is never fine. Very, very similar to each other. billions and billions of people in the past, in now, in the future are created, and all faces are different, colors are different, heights are different, weights are different, and there's a spectrum from dark black to very, very bright white, and you see in between this spectrum different colors in your skin, in your hair, in your teeth, and everything has a spectrum of a continuum of different colors, different shapes, different forms, and is really one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that faces are quite, and that's why are different, that's why we can recognize each other. If all human beings were created in the same way, we couldn't recognize each other. We usually think animals are like that. That's, for example, when we look at sheep, we think that all of them are identical, their faces, or when we look at pigeons. While if we were to be a sheep or a pigeon, we really knew every individual sheep by their faces, or every individual pigeon by their faces. It is the type of creation. Even two trees are not identical. He has given surah to everything. Fi ayya suratin ma sha'a rakabak. In any surah that he wanted, he could do it. He had the power. There is one hadith here that I want to mention in this regard. This is in Majma' al-Bayan, a tradition reported from Imam al-Raza alayhi salam, from the Prophet, peace be on him, that a man whose wife was pregnant, and everyone knew that he's expecting a child, when he met the Prophet, this man is not named of course here, but Prophet apparently knew that he's going to be given a child. So the child was born, but the Prophet didn't know whether he was or she was a boy or a girl. إِنَّهُ قَالَ لِرَجُلٍ مَا وُلِدَ لَكَ, asked a man, what was born for you? The man was not very respectful of the Prophet, peace be on him, and just said, قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا عَسَى أَن يُولَدَ لِي إِمَّا غُلَامٌ وَإِمَّا جَارِيَةٌ. Well, what can we expect, either a boy or a girl? He did not give a clear answer to the Prophet, peace be on him. And again, the Prophet said, apparently this man was very close to the Prophet. That's why the Prophet was asking all these questions. And the man, again, was somehow disrespectful to the Prophet. قَالَ فَمَنْ يُشْبِهُ, he said, to whom is he, or is it similar? What is the similarity of the face? Is it to the father or the mother? قَالَ يُشْبِهُ أُمَّهُ أَوْ أَبَاهُ, he says, well, there is one of these things. It is either like its father or its mother. Again, did not give a clear answer. But here, Prophet actually gave him a very nice answer. He said, لا تقول هكذا, don't say that it either would be like its mother or its father. إن النطفة إذا استقرت في الرحم أحذر الله كل نسب بينها وَبَيْنَ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. When the nutfa is created in the rahim, in the womb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make present all its nasab from this time to the time of Adam alayhi salam. So you wouldn't know that to whom this child is going, like whom this child is going to be. It might be like one of the seventh forefathers, for example, one of the 14th forefather. You don't know. These things which are in the genes might come from very, very far away, distant forefathers or mothers that you would not know. أَمَا قَرَأْتَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي أَيَّ سُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. Have you not read this ayah that he has created you in any surah that he wished? And this any surah means فِيمَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, between you and between Adam alayhi salam, whatever genes and similarities have been there, it might come to a child, you don't know. So that's why sometimes you see a child is born who is neither similar to its mother nor to its father, and you don't know where this similarity has come from. It has come from previous genes. And also there is another hadith from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, لَوْ شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ عَلَى غَيْرَ هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ. He has created in this very nice surah, in this very nice form, but if he wished, he could have created you in a very awkward form, of course, in something that you wouldn't have liked to look into mirror to it. But of course, all of us like to look into mirror, see ourselves, because we are very pleased with the way we are created. And if Allah wished, He could have created you in a way that no one would have liked to look into your face. Now, the next verse says that, of course, it's not the case that you are really deceived about all these things. It's because كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينَ. The point is that you deny the day of judgment. You deny deen is retribution, of course. You tukadhibuna bid-deen means you do not regard any retribution to be in place for whatever you do. And that's why you do whatever you want. That's why you forget everything about your generous Lord. While wa inna alaykum lahafidin, indeed there are over you watchers. These watchers, which are of course angels, and abundantly they are mentioned in the Quran that they watch over you, they record what you do, they are given very interesting attributes here. Kiraman katibin, they are noble writers. Now kiram, noble, honorable, when it's mentioned here, it means that these angels are sinless. Because if anyone commits sin, they are not noble anymore. They are not honorable anymore. So, by mentioning this, it means that these angels would never commit a sin. And these angels are the angels, the recorders, katibin, they record things. Now, the question whether angels are sinless, are immaculate, or they can commit sin, it has been a point of controversy all through. But what we can establish is that whichever angel who are mentioned in the Quran, that they never disobey their Lord, they are of course immaculate. There might be some angels which might be able to commit some sort of disobedience, which we don't know how, in what way, but those angels which are mentioned specifically that they are immaculate, like these angels who are watching over us and recording our actions, or the angels, the guardians of hell, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They never ever disobey their Lord and they do whatever they are ordered. These are immaculate angels. Are there any angels exceptional in the sense that they might disobey their Lord? This world is the world of exceptions, isn't it? Always we see exceptions everywhere. So there is a possibility of that, but these angels are specifically mentioned to be noble angels. Kiraman, katibin, ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. And very interestingly, they are so created that they know whatever you do. Of course, this knowledge is a deep knowledge. It's not a superficial knowledge. It's not just like filming what you do. They have a knowledge of your intention. They have a knowledge of deep layers of your motivations and all these things. And these are the things which are recorded with an action. And that's why we say actions should have a sort of manifestation which is different from what we see in this world when we go to the next world. There should be an incarnation of this action in a body which is different from what we see in this world. Because in this world we see actions, we don't see intentions, we don't see motivations, we don't see deep layers of a person's heart. But these angels, when they capture an action, they capture it with all these things which go into it, and they are quite knowledgeable about it. يَعْلَمُونَ, they are very, very knowledgeable about what you do. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Now, of course, here the number of these angels are not mentioned. It says, إِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِذِينَ. You have watchers over you, and they are noble watchers. In Surah Qaf, however, there is a mention of the number, that these are a pair of angels. إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد. When these two angels who are sitting on the right and on the left, قعيد, they're sitting. In a sense, they are very, very close, matched on you, sitting on you in a sense that they never separate from you when they are doing their job. And they are a pair, one on the right, one on the left-hand side. Where they are sitting, of course, then there are traditions mentioning where they are sitting exactly. But they are very, very close to you. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ مَا يَلْفَظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ. The person, or any person, never utters a word إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, except that there is a ready watcher which could record that uttered word. About these Kiram and Katibin, again we have in almost mutawatir traditions, widely reported from both Sunni and Shi'i authorities, that these angels which are watching over us and record our actions are actually four. One pair for the day, one pair for the night. What the pair, the two angels which record the actions in the night, of course, when we are sleeping, we don't know what is the type of thing that they record. But certainly, if a person is a person of Salatul Layl, of Istighfar, of crying during the day for the Lord, then these angels are very, very special. Their specialty is writing these things. Or if a person is a man of casino and discos and these things, again, they are specialized in writing these things, which belong to the night. And of course, in the day, we go to business, we go to work, job, and all these things. There are different angels. And almost, again, mutawatir traditions we have about this verse in Surah Al-Isra. وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. The recitation, that is the Salat of Fajr, is witnessed. Of course, all Salat and recitation are witnessed, but here the tradition say that because it's witnessed by the angels of the day and the angels of the night together, because it's at the time of Fajr when these angels change their place, change the shift, in a sense. The angels of the day, of the night, are moving up, and when we say the angels, you can imagine, there are, now we have 6.5 billion people, so there are 13 billion of these angels who are leaving this earth in Fajr, and 13 billion coming down to sit on their appointed targets, and there are altogether 26 billion angels moving up and down. And then the hadith says that inna Qur'an al-fajr kana mashhuda, means these angels who are going up and the angels who are coming down, they all can witness together this Qur'an al-fajr, the recitation of the Fajr. Now, in Nur al-Thaqalayn, a Shi'i tradition, traditional tafsir by Ma'thur, there's a hadith reported from the book Sa'd al-Su'ud of Sayyid ibn Tawus, after it mentions that there are two angels for the day, two angels for the night. He says that إِنَّهُمَا يَأْتِيَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْدَ حُضُورِ صَلَاتِ الْفَاجِرِ. They come to the mu'min when the time of Salatul Fajr arrives. فَإِذَا حَبَطَ سَعَدَ الْمَلَكَانِ الْمُوَكَّلَانِ بِاللَّيْلِ. When they come down, then the two angels who have been watching over this person during the night would leave, and they change their place. فَإِذَا غَرَبَتِ الشَّمْسِ نَزَلَ إِلَيْهِ الْمُوَكَّلَانِ بِكِتَابَةِ اللَّيْلِ وَيَسْعَدُ الْمَلَكَانِ الْكَاتِبَانِ بِالنَّهَارِ بِدِيوَانِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ. And when, of course, the time of sunset comes, these two angels of the day would move with a book which they have prepared. to the Lord, handing it to the Lord in a sense. Well, of course, because everything is centralized in terms of knowledge, and then the two angels of night come down. فَلَا يَزَالُ ذَلِكَ دَعْبُهُمْ. And this is a continuous habit إِلَى وَقْتَ حُضُورِ أَجَلِهِ, when the time of death comes. Now, when the time of death comes, we have to bid farewell. Well, we don't see them. They bid farewell to us. They are very much used to us now. They have been watching over us during the whole life, and they have been our companies. And this thing is very, very real thing. We don't see it, but it's quite real. These angels become very intimate to us. They are a sort of delicate creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which find attachments very, very easily. So, until the time of death comes, فَإِذَا حَذَرَ أَجَلُهُ, when the time of death comes and the man is leaving this world, these two angels talk to the person who's leaving the world, of course without him or her hearing it. قَالَ لِلرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ, they say to the good person, جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ صَاحِبٍ أَنَّا خَيْرًا, may God reward you on our behalf, because we really enjoyed your company. It is the case, isn't it? I mean, if a person is good, the angels enjoy their company. And if a person is evil, the angels detest their company. So they say, Jazakallah min sahibin anna khayra. Fakam min salihin araytana. How many nice things you showed to us. We didn't know that a person can do these things. We didn't know that beauties can be unfolded in human beings like this. And we enjoyed it. كَمْ مِنْ عَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ أَرَيْتَنَا, how many good actions you showed to us. وَكَمْ مِنْ قَوْلٍ حَسَنٍ أَسْمَعْتَنَا, how many of nice words that you uttered. You describe your Lord, you talk to your neighbors, you talk to your family in a way that we really enjoyed hearing it. وَكَمْ مِنْ قَوْلٍ حَسَنٍ أَسْمَعْتَنَا, how many nice words you made us to hear. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَجْلِسِ خَيْرٍ أَحْذَرْتَنَا, how many nice meetings you took us with yourself, isn't it? Because wherever we go, they come. We go to a session of recitation of the Quran, they listen, they enjoy, actually. They are somehow affected by this recitation of the Quran. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَجْلِسِ خَيْرٍ أَحْذَرْتَنَا, how many nice meetings and majlis you took us with yourself. You took them with to a majlis of Aza of Hussein alayhi salam. They listen. They are somehow affected by that. فَنَحْنُ الْيَوْمَ عَلَى مَا تُحِبُّهُ, now you will see ourselves, you will see us as your friends today. وَشُفَعَاءَ إِلَى رَبِّكَ, and you will see that we will intercede for you with your Lord. Now, this is the person who has been good. وَإِنْ كَانَ عَاصِيًا, if this man has been a disobedient person, if this person has been a disobedient one, قَالَ لَهُ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ صَاحِبٍ أَنَّ شَرَّ, may God punish you for what you did to us as your company. فَلَقَدْ كُنْتَ تُؤْذِيَنَا, you used to annoy us very much. We were troubled seeing you disobeying your Lord, sinning all the time. فَكَمْ مِنْ عَمَلٍ سَيِّئٍ أَرَيْتَنَا, how many evil actions we had to bear seeing with you. وَكَمْ مِنْ قَوْلٍ سَيِّئٍ أَسْمَعْتَنَا, how many evil words we had to hear from you and tolerate. وَمِنْ مَجْلِسِ سُوءٍ أَحْذَرْتَنَا, how many evil sessions, meetings, groupings you took us with yourself. وَنَحْنُ الْيَوْمَ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهُ, and you will find us your enemies today. And you will find us in a position that you wouldn't like. وَشَهِدَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, and we will be witnesses before your Lord about whatever he is going to ask as a witness from us. So, this puts the whole thing in a very beautiful picture. That's how this relationship between these two angels and human beings are built up during their lives. And this is why we have in many, many traditions from Sunnis and Shias that at the end of each Salat, when you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you look to your right, of course, what the Sunnis do, they look to their right and their left and they say, we are giving salam to the angels. However, in our traditions is that you don't turn your head. You just look by your eyes to your upper cheek, in a sense. Because in many traditions we have that this is the place where the angel is sitting, actually. It's quite close to us, sitting on ashdaq, on side of the mouth, in this place. And when you turn your eyes, saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, just to the right, because we have in other traditions we see that this right person is in fact in charge, even in charge of the left angel, and whatever the left angel wants to do would seek permission from the right angel. For example, when we commit a sin, the left angel asks, shall I write it down? Shall I record it? And it's the right angel who has to give the permission for it to be written. In a sense, it has a superiority over the other one. And this salam that we give to these angels is because, as I said, they have become so intimate with us. There is no one in this world, no angel even in this world, who knows us better than these two. They are, in a sense, the angels who are born with us and leave this world with us, going to their high positions that Allah has already arranged for them. Now, there's another hadith. This is, again, very, very interesting with regards to these two angels. This is in Usul al-Kafi from Abdullah ibn Musa ibn Ja'far, from his father, from Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. I asked him about these two angels. هَلْ يَعْلَمَانِ الذَّنْبِ إِذَا أَرَادَ الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَفْعَلَهُ أَوْ الْحَسَنَةِ. If a person intends to do good or intends to do evil, would these angels know? Because sometimes, of course, we intend to do something and we don't do it. Now, in a sense, these angels, we don't want them to know everything about us, even evil intentions. But the question is, would they know even evil intentions or good intentions that we would like to do or we are intending to do? فَقَالَ رِيحُ الْكَنِيفِ وَالْتَيِّبْ سَوَاءَ. Is a bad smell and good smell similar to each other? This is what Imam asks, of course, the person who asks who questions. Is a bad smell and good smell equal to each other? قلتُ لا. I said, of course not. قال إن العبد إذا حم بالحسنة خرج نفسه طيب الريح. When a person intends to do good, these angels feel the fragrance of his breath. There is a fragrance in the breath of a person who intends to do something good. There are many things which is going under cover in this world that we are not aware of it, of course. Especially when things come to good intention, bad intention, good things and bad things. فَقَالَ صَاحِبُ الْيَمِينِ لِصَاحِبِ الشَّمَالِ. And then the angel who is on the right would tell to the angel who is on the left, قُمْ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ حَمَّ بِالْحَسَنَةِ. Stand, because this person is about to do a good thing, so this is not my job to record it. فَإِذَا فَعَلَهُ كَانَ لِسَانُهُ قَلَمُهُ وَرِيقُهُ مِدَادُهُ. When he does it, and when this angel wants to record it, this good action, his tongue is the pen, and his saliva is the ink by which this angel writes it. Now, if you think deeply about this, because our tongue, our saliva contains our DNA, our every quality of creation, and in a sense it says that it is with your qualities by which you are created that these actions are, in a sense, recorded. And that's why whatever has gone into your creation in the past would, in a sense, appear in recording of this action. وَإِذَا حَمَّ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ. And when he wants to do a or she wants to do a sayya, an evil, خَرَجَ نَفَسُهُ مُنْتَنُّ الرِّيحِ. The breath is stinky. Very, very bad smell comes. These angels realize it. فَيَقُولُ صَاحِبُ الشَّمَالِ لِصَاحِبِ الْيَمِينِ قِفْ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ حَمَّ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ. Then, of course, the right, the left side angel will say that, stop, this man is about to do a sayyi'ah. فَإِذَا هُوَ فَعَلَهُ فَعَلَهَا. If he does it, then the same thing. The tongue will be the pen, and the saliva will be the ink. I think there is deeper things into this that we have to really think about, how these actions are, in a sense, merged with our type of creation and recorded in that way. I have a couple of other traditions here which are very interesting about these two angels. We either can leave it and have questions and answer, or continue with it and leave questions and answer for the following session. Which way you prefer? Now, and then we continue with these traditions later. Okay. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahiri. So anything you ask me, I say later. In the traditions, it will come.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We'll start with the lady side. If there are any questions?
It's the first one. The question is, when you brought the hadith through Imam Ridha alayhi salam, which you says, أحضر الله كل الناس من بينه وبين آدم. Does that mean it is within us, all these genes, or that it's been added to us at the time of the creation? That it's when the nutfa happens, at that time this nasab added to us, or it is already in us and then it's get reactivated at that time?
You see, our knowledge of genes and these things that we have nowadays, and we think that we are very advanced in it, one can imagine it's very, very limited. This is still the beginning of knowing how these genes really work and how many are they and how effective they are. Apparently what is said here is not that Allah haphazardly brings it at a time of inqad al-nutfa and such things. It is there, but which gene from which forefather, which is dormant, for example, is going to be activated there, is something which works according to a system which is unknown to us. And of course, we know these systems are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that they work according to His will. And therefore, it is there, of course, it is there, but we don't know which one is going to be activated to give us the type of surah which are destined for us. And Allah says this is His will, that which surah is going to be given to you.
Sheikh, thank you. There is
You lost the question.
No, I haven't lost the question. I'm just trying to refer.
Ask your angels, they know.
That's
it.
That's right, yes, you are right. Now, there is an ayah here. The angels are there to protect you. I'm just wondering which one it is. Yeah, that's right, number 10, the ayah number 10, the way it is translated. They are, but verily over you to protect you. In what way they protect us, the angels?
I don't think any exegete has said that these angels are protector angels. Inna alaykum lahafidin. Of course, hafid has that meaning of protector. But here, most of the exegetes, almost all of them, have said that these are those angels who watch over us. This is the meaning of hafid here, not protection. We have angels of protection as well, who protect us from death. However, these are not those angels. For every human being, in another tradition, we have that for every human being there are 10 angels specifically created for them to protect them, to watch over them, to do certain different things. And this is, of course, different from angel of death, different from general angels who are working in this world. So those angels of protection are different from these angels of writing and recording.
Are there any questions on the lady side?
Go ahead.
The second question to do with the amount of angels. I think we said the angels are so known to us, but there are different angels comes and goes every night. So how do they have that intimate knowledge with us? Because the angels, they come and go, one in the morning, one in the evening. So the one who comes to us is new to us.
Mm-hmm. No, the traditions don't put it like that. They say that the same angels come every day, and the same angels come every night. However, the angels of the day don't know about whatever we have done in the night, and the angels of the night don't know what about whatever we have done in the day. We have some traditions which cannot stand against these huge amount of traditions talking about the continuity of these two angels with us. We say yes, every night and every day these angels will change. However, the traditions which say the same angels are appointed to us until our death, a couple for the day and a couple for the night, are much more abundant, and they cannot resist these traditions.
The second part is to do with the same thing. I think you said this, there is 26 billion angels, sort of, they come and go. I think this is the least of our problem, because there is a saying which says, "Inna lillahi alf alam," you know, that means there is a million worlds like us, and there is every day, there is a day of judgment for one of these worlds. So I think this is the least of our problems, that how many angels. And
yeah.
The second part of it, you know, the sort of the second miracle to this, if it is this difficult of the faces on the angels, you know, the fingerprints. We got 10 fingers and 10 toes. Every one of them is different.
Yeah.
So multiplied by the amount of people on this world, and they are totally different from each other. So this miracle compared to the angels seems to be very simple.
Well, of course, I didn't say that's a miracle. I said there is a real traffic at the time of morning and evening when these angels come down and go up. Well, of course, everything in this world you see is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, but that's a good reminder. Thank you very much.
The last little bit about it, I think it must be in a very bad world, because the chewing gum is the best-selling item we got. That means we're doing a lot of bad things to keep changing our breath with those chewing gum all the time.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
It's a little bit of a joke, you know, because our world, you know, the best-selling item we got in this sort of country in here is chewing gum and the breath freshener. So according to the angels, that means we got doing a lot of bad things that... all the time is bad stink coming out from our mouth.
Now, they are not going to be cheated by these things, you see. That's a completely different type of fragrance and stink.
Thank you
so much. Thank you.